Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class weekly learning. Baruch Hashem, this shiur is really Kenayin Har going strong. And to all the past sponsors, current sponsor, future sponsor, Tizku Mitzvos Maisim Tovim, it's really amazing what this shiur began and how it is really continuing. Tonight's shiur is sponsored the Zecher Nishmasa and the Ilui Nishmasa, Brian Leah Bas Aaron Alaha Hashalom, whose yahrzeit was Yud Dalid Kislev. This is sponsored by Toby Kinderler in the memory of her mother. So Toby and I have been zocha to learn together for a few years already. We met through the Queen's Parsha class, and here we are learning Zecher Nishmas, your special mother. I'm just going to read what Toby told me about her mother, and I always find it extremely interesting how the sponsor will write something a week or two in advance, not knowing what I have prepared for shiur. And I find it amazing how Hashem arranges it, that the shiur is so appropriate for the memory of the person in whom we are learning. My mother was a sole Holocaust survivor. She entered the war as a young adult. Yimach shmam v'zichrom, the Nazis murdered her whole family, parents, grandparents, seven siblings, uncles, aunts, and many cousins. Hashem yinkom damam, something we cannot and should never have to fathom. She was beaten with a whip on her back because she dared to help a fellow prisoner in the labor camp. My mother was only four feet 10 inches in height, but in her capacity to give love and to survive hardship, she was a giant. She was the light of our home with emunah and bitachon, the foundation of how she lived through all of her challenges. She attributed that emunah and bitachon to her father, Aaron ben Yechiel Alter Alav HaShalom, because he would always quote Mamre Chazal and Torah to emphasize Yerushalayim and Ahavas Yisrael. Most of all, my mother gave us unconditional love. Her hugs were unbelievable. You were loved no matter what you said and no matter what you did. She allowed us to find our own path. There was no judgment, capital letters, unconditional love. And by that, I think it also means acceptance. She was an example of one should live their life through the smooth times and through the challenging times. So the shiur should be an aliyah neshama for Brian DeLeah Bas Aaron Alaha Hashalom. And I think it's extremely interesting how tonight's topic is so appropriate for unconditional acceptance and unconditional love of other Jews, because we are currently learning the Mishnah. This is going to be the third week when we are going through the Mishnah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Hey, Hillel Omer. So if you're read, Hillel says, Al tirfosh min hatzibur, do not separate yourself from the community. We spoke about that 2 weeks ago. Al tamein ba'atzmecha ad yamoscha, do not believe in yourself to the day of death. We spoke about that last week. And tonight we are up to Va'al tadin es chavercha ad shetegia limkomo, do not judge your friend until you get to his place. And this is the topic of tonight's shiur. And it's extremely relevant, extremely powerful, extremely difficult, and something that speaks to all of us in a very visceral way, because it's human nature to judge other people, unfortunately. And Hillel cautions us, and he says, not only should you not separate from the community, and not only should you not believe in yourself to the day of your death, but you should know, Va'al tadin es chavercha ad shetegia limkomo. Do not judge your friend until you reach their place. And that's why when I read what Toby wrote about her mother, I thought, unbeknownst to you, how appropriate tonight's shiur was, because that's really what unconditional love and acceptance means. Without judgment, without saying, I would have done it this way and your way is wrong and my way is right, it's just accepting another Jew. So I'm going to begin tonight's shiur by telling you that my husband told me this teaching over. I believe he heard Rabbi Shai Schechter say it in the name of his father, Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita. Unless you heard of Herschel Schechter say it at a Shavuos program, which is also possible. Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita teaches, judging your friend for the side of benefit is b'diavad. Because lichatchila, we should not be judging anyone else at all. So if you're judging someone, then give them the benefit of the doubt. But the reality is you should never be judging another person, not their actions, not their ways, not their speech, not their thoughts, not their reactions to life events. And that's something we're going to be exploring tonight. Why can't I judge somebody else? Why can't I look at their actions and condemn them or see them in a non-beneficial light, if you will? So I'm going to begin by quoting from the Bartanura. So the Bartanura, it's a show comment, but important. The Bartanura says, "V'al tadin es chavercha ad shetegia limkomo." You should not judge your friend until you reach their place. Im ra'isa chavercha, listen carefully. The Bartanura says, Imra Isa Chavircha Shabali De Nisayon Vinichshal. If you see your friend who came to a Nisayon, he was brought to a test. Vinichshal, he stumbled, he tripped, he didn't pass the test. Al Tidinehu Lechova. Do not judge him as Chayav. Do not say, well, he's culpable, he's liable, he's guilty. Look at him, he reached that Nisayon, and he fell and stumbled. And now you judge him, Lechova. Why? Adcha tegia lidei Nisayon kemoso v'tinatzel. Don't judge him for his situation until you reach that same Nisayon, that same difficulty, and you pass. So in other words, I don't know how I would react. It's easy for me to judge you in your Nisayon, but I'm not in your Nisayon. So again, the words of the Bartanura are, Imra Isa Chavercha Shabali Dei Nisayon Vinichshal. If you saw your friend, he came to a Nisayon, a test, a difficulty in life, and he stumbled. Al Tidinehu Lechova, do not judge him as being guilty and culpable. Acha Tegili Dei Nisayon Kemoso V'tinatzel. Until you reach the exact same Nisayon as him, and you are able to succeed in that Nisayon. The reality is you're never going to reach the exact same Nisayon as him anyways, because your lives are very, very different. That's what the Bartanura says. Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, the past 2 weeks we have been quoting Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch. So Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch says as follows. Let no one, Hillel hastens to add, be so presumptuous as to believe he is morally perfect, and therefore think he will never need the support of a community to guard him. Oh, that was last week. It's true. Still true. Sorry, my parentheses were in the wrong place. I'm going back to this week. Likewise, let no one presume to pass judgment on others, for he does not know the circumstances of his erring brother. You don't know the circumstances of your brother who just erred. You don't know the temptations that led him astray. And how can he know whether, in similar circumstances and exposed to the same temptations, he would have remained steadfast in his devotion to duty? Who am I to judge somebody else for being nichshal, using the word of the Bartanura, for stumbling and failing? Says Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch, how can you know? If you were in similar circumstances, and if you were exposed to the same temptations, how do you know that you would have been steadfast in your devotion to duty? It's easy to look at someone else and say, wow, look how you failed. You're such a rasha. I'm such a tzaddik. But God didn't put me in that situation. Mr. Irving Buvanim, in his Ethics from Sinai, says as follows. How often do we judge others? How quickly and easily for something they have done? But let us think for a moment. When we judge someone's actions, we are seeing it out of context. We strip the circumstances which surround it. And ultimately, we end up judging another person in a vacuum. We are not in a position to judge. We must develop empathy. Feel ourselves in that person's position. Put yourself in the situation in which you are judging. Only if we can put ourselves entirely in that person's place, almost to become the other person for a moment, can we begin to understand and appreciate the forces and the pressure that that person was subjected to. And that's why there's a difference between empathy and sympathy. Can we really put ourselves, even for a moment, can you almost metaphysically trade places with that other person? Do you know exactly what they're going through, how they feel during that Nisayon? Even if you're going through the same Nisayon, you might feel differently than them. The temptations are different than that person. And we're constantly looking around at people around us and the things that they do and that they don't do. And it's human nature. I would have done it this way. They should have done it that way. I'm better than them. It's human nature to always be judging. Rav Hirsch Shechter says, judging someone, the kaf zechus, the side of merit, is bidi eved, because the chatchila, we should not be judging anyone else in the first place at all. Continues Mr. Irving Buvanim. Others interpret this literally. Do not judge your fellow until you reach his place of origin. Everyone has a background. Everyone has a place where he grew up and spent his formative years. You cannot judge anyone until you reach his place, i.e. examine his background, study his family, friends, and associates. So here we have another level. Even if I'm in the same situation and it seems like me and you have the same Nisayon, you had a different upbringing than me. You had a different family background than me. You had a different education than me. So we're really not in the same Nisayon. So the reality is that what's emerging is that we will never ultimately be in the same place as somebody else. So how can we judge? And I'm not giving you muster, I'm giving Michal Horowitz muster. Al tadin es chavercha, Hillel says, atra tegilim komo. Hillel doesn't write, don't judge your friend, but rather don't judge him until you reach his place. And the question we must ask ourselves is, honestly, will we ever reach somebody else's place? And the answer is no, unless we're a clone. The answer is simply no. There is nature, there is nurture, and we are different than each other. Continues Mr. Irving Bumin, another interesting way of understanding this phrase, distance creates many optical illusions. Just as a round object may appear oblong when seen from afar, round object may appear oblong when seen from afar. You know, if you've ever watched nature documentaries, so in the Sahara, in the Masai Mara Desert, the heat from a distance, you could see the heat rising. It almost looks like it becomes a mirage. It looks like there's a lake in the distance. I don't know if you've ever seen an anime documentaries. If you have, you know what I'm talking about. Excuse me. The heat becomes like a mirage, like a lake in the distance. Sometimes when you see something from a distance, you perceive something that's actually not there. So too, identities of people appear different from what they really are if we are not close to them. Do not judge your fellow men, he says, until you get closer to the scene. So Acha de Gilem Komo, this is a different interpretation. Don't judge from afar. Don't judge when you're looking at things from a distance. Make sure you get close, because from a distance, things appear different as what they really are. Furthermore, historical judgments in particular suffer from this type of distortion. And here he quotes from the Gemara. And when I was preparing Shir, I saw Rav Yisrael Meir Lau on his commentary on Pirkei Avos to this Mishnah also quotes the exact same Gemara. So I'm quoting from Ethics from Sinai, Mr. Irving Bunim, Zichrono Levracha, but Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita quotes the exact same teaching from the Gemara. The Gemara tells us Rav Ashi was teaching. He reached a lecture on the Mishnah, at the point where the Mishnah teaches there are three kings who have no share in the world to come because they are so wicked and idolatrous. Yeravam, Achav, and Menasha. This is what the Mishnah teaches in Sanhedrin. Tomorrow, said Rav Ashi, we will expound upon these three learned colleagues. He called them kings because tradition has it they were very learned in Torah, but he was also sarcastic. So Rav Ashi was teaching, and he concluded the shir by saying, these three kings, with a note of sarcasm and denigration, Yeravam, Achav, and Menasha, have no share in the world to come. That night, Menasha came to him in a dream. And he said, and this is brought down in the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, do you call me your learned colleague or your fathers? He asked Rav Ashi a question in Jewish law. The sage could not answer. And he gave the correct answer, Menashe. With humility and amazement, Rav Ashi asked the ancient king of Yehuda, since you were so learned, Menashe, why did you worship idols? And the reply came, and I'm sure you know the reply because it's very famous. Had you been there with me, you would have gathered up the hem of your garment and you would have run after me to join in idol worship. So Mr. Irving Bunim says it's impossible for later centuries and later generations to appreciate or understand sometimes past history. So you want to look back in history and you want to judge perhaps previous generations. Acha tegilim komo. You're too far distance. This is a different interpretation. You're too far away from the turn of events that happened. So you cannot judge because you're too far away from that place, from that makom. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, I'm only quoting one paragraph, one sentence really, from his commentary. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau says, we cannot judge someone else until, quote, we stand in his shoes. He specifically uses that word. We cannot judge someone else until we stand in their shoes. Even if we find ourselves in the exact same position as him, we still may not be in his shoes because we come at life from a different angle, with different strengths and different deficits. It's interesting that he uses the word shoes because this reminds me of a very important teaching that I don't remember where I learned it or who taught it to me. Every bracha that we say in the Birkas HaShachar corresponds to a different function or gift, Zokev Kefufim, when you get up off your bed. Pokeach Ivrim, open your eyes, when you actually open your eyes. Today, we say them in the standard structure and order of the sitter. But the Chazal tell us in the Gemara that they're really meant to be said, not today, we don't practice like this, when a person girds himself, Ozir Yisrael B'gvura, when a person sits up in bed, he says, Zokev Kefufim. When a person first opens his eyes, he says, Pokeach Ivrim. When do we make the bracha of Shasali called Tzarki? When we put on our shoes. The bracha of Shasali Kol Tzarki is associated with donning shoes. Okay, Malbish Arum is when a person gets dressed. Why shoes? Shasali Kol Tzarki, you bless God for giving me all of my needs And you say, you gave me all my needs when I put on my shoes. Why do shoes represent all of a person's needs? Again, this is not my Ha'ara. I don't remember where I read it. But the answer is, you know, if you're wearing a sweatshirt that's a little too big, it's okay. You could wear it. It doesn't need to fit exactly. And if the pants are a little too big, you could put on a belt and tighten them. If the skirt's a little too long, you could pick it up. You could still wear it in a shas hadchak. Shoes have to fit you exactly. Because how many steps can you take in shoes that don't fit? You're going to have blisters. They're going to slip off. The shoes fit you perfectly. What a Jew is really saying when he wakes up in the morning and he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God. You're the king. You're in charge. You know my whole life. You gave me, you provided for me all my needs. My life fits me perfectly. Just like my shoes fit me perfectly. And so this bracha, Sha'asali Kol Tzarki, God gave me and provided for me all my needs, it says when we put on our shoes, you can't wear someone else's shoes. They have to fit you exactly. Furthermore, I read a beautiful insight in Mishpacha last year. Sha'asali Kol Tzarki. Tzarki can also be broken up into two words, Ki Tzar. Sha'asali Ki Tzar. You're blessing God and you're saying, Hashem, you know, sometimes life is difficult. Ki Tzarli. Sha'asali kol tzarki, ki tzarli. Even when life is difficult for me, even when life causes me challenge and pain, tzarli, when I have sorrows, I know, Hashem, you made me my life exactly how it's supposed to be. So we put on our shoes and we bless God because my life fits me perfectly. It means the nisyonos in my life, the challenges in my life, the blessings in my life, the happy times, the difficult times, it's all from you, Hashem. Even when, Sha'asali Ki Tzar, you made it difficult for me, I know that's from you to me, it fits me perfectly. So I think we can understand what we saw Meir Lau, given this context of this Var Torah on shoes. We cannot judge someone else until we stand in his shoes, says Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita. Even if you find yourself in the exact same position, you may not still be in his shoes, because we come at life from a different angle. We all have different strengths, we all have different deficits. So what does this have to do with Sha'asali Kol Tzarki? If your life is exactly right for you and you can't wear anyone else's shoes, and his life is exactly right for him because he can't wear your shoes, and how could I judge his life? I stand in my place in my shoes. He stands in his place in his shoes. And each of us in the morning makes our own bracha, Sha'asali, in the Lashon Yachid, singular, Kol Tzarki, even when it's Ki Tzarli. And we've all go through difficult times in life. And that's when we need compassion, specifically when life faces us with challenges. That's not when we need judgment from other people, because are they wearing your shoes? Do your shoes fit them like they fit you? The answer is no. Does your life fit you, them like it fits you? And the answer is no. So how could we judge someone, says Rabbi Sharmaya, until you stand in their shoes? And I will never stand in anyone else's shoes. So how could I not have compassion for that person who may be going through a very difficult time? They wake up in the morning with great strength. They say, even when it's Ki Tzarli, I know the shoes and my life fit me. And what I need from my friend is not judgment, but what I need is empathy. What I need from my friend is compassion. The Sfas Emes on this Mishnah teaches, Klomar, Ulamakam chavercha I afshar lahagia leolam. I'm going to repeat it. Klomar, ulamakam chavercha I afshar lahagia leolam. You could have parents of special needs children. And it seems like we're in the same place. And we're not in the same place. Because my financial situation, my emotional situation, my background, my personal strengths, my personal weaknesses, my support system, it's all different. Says the Sfas Emes, Klomer ulemakam chavercha I afshar lahagia leolam. Ki lo kol deo b'nei adam shavot. Ki lo kol deos b'nei adam shavos. Because the thoughts of man are not equal to each other. V'lachein al tadin lechavercha klal. So as far as Emma says, let me tell you beferish. You will never be in his place. Even your thoughts, especially your thoughts, will never be exactly like the thoughts of that other person. And therefore, al tadin lechavercha klal. You should just never judge your friend at all. I don't know why it's such a challenge. It seems to be human nature that we see people doing things. We see people in stores, we see people in their lives, and it seems to be human nature to pass judgment. And Hillel warns us very strongly against this. Furthermore, he who calls judgment upon his friend calls judgment, the heavenly judgment, ultimately upon himself. So I was thinking of something else when I was preparing Shir. Al tadines chavercha, acha tegielim komo. So the words of the Mishnah are not an accident, just like the words of Torah shebichtav are with intent and carefully chosen, so too the words of Torah shebaal peh are with intent and carefully chosen. Another name for Hashem is Makom. Vayifka b'makom, we just had on last week's parsha. Vayetzi Yaakov mi'Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Charana, 28:10, 28:11, Chav Ches Yir Aleph. Vayifka b'makom, Vayalan Sham, Kivah Hashemesh. Vayikach me'avnei makom, Ve'yasam Rosh Hashav. Vayishka b'makom ahu. Three times in that pasuk, we are told that Yaakov had an encounter with the place. And it's Davka from that pasuk, Chaf Ches Yud Aleph and Bereishis, Parshas Vayesay, the Chazal tells in Maseches Brachos, Chafav, the Yaakov Mesakin Tfilas Arvis. Vayivka Bamakom, Vayalan Sham Kibah HaShemesh. Sorry, he encountered the place, the sun set and he slept there. Chazal said, Im Pgia El Tfila, Pgia to encounter, Pei Gima Ayin, is the language of prayer. And you learn from here that Yaakov prayed, which Tfila Arvis, the evening prayer. Furthermore, when Avraham Avinu is Mesakin Tfilas Shachris, the morning prayer, Parshas Vayera, 1927, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham Es Pnei Hashem. Avraham stood in the place where he prayed. And the Gemara tells us furthermore, Kol Koveya Makom L'Tfilaso Eloke Avraham Be'ezro. You have an association repeatedly of the name Hamakom with Tfilah. When we go to comfort a mourner, Admeva Esrim Shana, only it should be, we say Hamakom Yenachem Eschem, Hamakom Yerachem Aleihem. One of the names of Hashem is Hamakom, and Chazal tell us, Hashem is the Mekom Moshe Olam, Ve'en Ha'olam Mekom. Hashem is the place of the world. The world is not his place. He is the place of this world. The world is not his place. He doesn't inhabit this world. The world inhabits God, so to speak. So I was thinking, I didn't see it brought down anywhere. And I looked in a lot of sources. I'm going to be quoting more sources even. Al tadines chaver chacha tegilim komo. That it makes a lot of sense to me. I don't want to say it's one of the most important teachings of tonight, chas v'shalom, because I'm just quoting myself. But do you have the same relationship with God that that person has? Do you presume to know their intimate relationship, their secrets with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Rav Shimshon Pinkas says in one of his farim, Moadei Hashana for Rosh Hashanah, every Jew should feel he has a secret with Hashem. If you don't feel you have a secret with Hashem, Rav Pinkas says, I'm sorry to say this, but you're missing some of your Jewishness. I could stand up behind me in the bookcase and tell you what page it's from. Every morning you say, Elokai Nisham Shonasata Bi Tehorahi. That's how we start Birkas HaShachar. Elokai, my God. Nisham Shonasata Bi. It's Lashon Yachid. I'm talking to you. It's me and you, Hashem. Elokai, my God, shenasata bi, and neshama shenasata bi tori, atavaras, atayitzarta, atanafachta bi. My soul is pure. You blew it into me. You created it. You keep it for the future. It's a lashon yachid. I have a personal relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Do I presume to know someone else's relationship with God? What's a high level for one person might be a very low level for another person. Wait, I want to tell you a story that I didn't prepare because I just thought of it as I said that statement. The book happens to be right here. Don't leave. If I could find it quickly. You know what? I might be able to find it faster on my computer. One second. Obviously, I didn't think of it before, or I would have prepared it before. But I think it's a perfect story to illustrate what I want to tell you. It's going to take me too long to find it. Let me just see if I can find it quickly on my computer. Stay here. now. Okay. I'm not going to take the time to find it. Was that about a fahair that Rav Yosef Tendler, Zatzal, the Menahel of the Mechina in Eretz Yisrael, Baltimore, a boy came to have a fahair. He was on an NCSY program in the yeshiva, and then he wanted to stay. He came from a non-religious background, Baruch Purton. So Rabbi Tendler asked him, okay, so what Gemara do you know? And the boy said, what's Gemara? And Rabbi Tendler said, okay, what Mishnah do you know? And the boy said, what's Mishnah? He said, what Chumash do you know? He said, what's Chumash? So finally, Rabbi Tendler, Zatzal, he was actually our Masada Kedushin, said, what do you know? So the boy said, I could sing Adon Olam. So Rabbi Tendler said, okay, sing Adon Olam. And he sang Adon Olam, and Rabbi Tendler welcomed to the yeshiva, and he became Rabbi Baruch Purton. But for one person, sing Adon Olam, that's all you could do, would be a low level. And for the other person, sing Adon Olam would be a very high level. Al tadin es chavercha atcha tegil lim komo. How could I presume to judge someone else's relationship with the Mekomo Sha'olam, with God? I don't know their struggles. I don't know their vacillations. I don't know their strengths. I don't know their weaknesses. I don't know their high points. I don't know their low points. Why? Because I'm not them. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's one Dayan Emes, and it's not me. Don't presume to take the place of God. There is one Dayan Emes. So Hillel says, Al Tadin. Don't make yourself that Dayan Emes. Atcha Tegilim Komo. Because you're not Hashem, and you don't know his relationship with God, and what you see as a low level might be the most precious, highest level to God. When you see another yid struggling in their avodas Hashem, that's so precious to God. He has his relationship with his makom. What does that have to do with me? Nothing. And I presume to know better than that person. Shame. It's so interesting, because in the beginning of the week, I was preparing for Parsha Shirim. So I picked up Rav Tversky and Chumash. And Mamish, the first insight I read is about this very phrase in this very Mishnah. This was on Sunday. And I know what part of the Mishnah we're up to on Thursday. And I know why Hashem guided me to the Sefer this week. It wasn't for my Parsha Shirim. It was for Pirkei Avos. So Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky writes on this week's Parsha. Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav el Esav. Yaakov sent malachim, messengers, and or angels. Rashi says angels. To Esav, that's how the beginning of the Parsha opens. Yaakov wants to send a message to Esav. I lived with Lavan. I kept all the Torah. I have ox and donkey. Don't kill me. For years, writes Rabbi Dr. Tversky, Esav hated Yaakov. The Pasuk tells us in Bereshis Perach of Zion, Esav harbored hatred towards Yaakov. Vayistom Esav es Yaakov ala bracha sherbercho aviv. In an effort to appease Esav, Yaakov sent messengers with lavish gifts for him. The messengers reported that the gifts had not altered Esav's attitude, and the malachim come back and they say to Yaakov, sorry, but Esav is coming with how many men? 400 men. It is related that there was a falling out between Rav Shneur Zalman, the author of the Tanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, and Rav Baruch of Mizubavs, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. So there was a falling out between these two great Hasidic leaders. Various attempts by intermediaries failed to bring about a reconciliation between these two quarreling parties. Rav Baruch of Mizubavs, M-E-Z-H-I-B-O-Z-H, I'm sure I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, then said, the Torah tells us that even angelic intermediaries could not diffuse Esav's hatred towards Yaakov. It was only when the two met personally that Esav overcame his hatred, right? They come and they say, listen, we have news for you. Esav is coming with 400 men. The end of that song, kid's song from 613 Torah Avenue, is Yaakov Davin to Hashem. But the messengers could not diffuse the situation. It was only when they met personally that Esav overcame his hatred. Vayaretz akraso, vayipal tzavarav, vayichab kehu, vayinashikehu. Then they're crying and Esav's hugging him and kissing him. When there is antagonism between two people, efforts to bring about peace via intermediaries are not always successful. The two opponents should meet face to face to iron out their differences. Sometimes the dislike of a person may be due to misconception. Remember, Mr. Irving Bloom says, when you see things from a distance, you often see an illusion. Abraham Lincoln was known to say, and it's funny because I once quoted this in a shir before, I do not like that man very much. I should get to know him better. And now, Rabbi Dr. Tversky quotes our Mishnah. Chazal say, Al tadines chavercha atra tegielim komo. Do not judge a person until you come to his place. Although this is usually understood to mean you should withhold judgment until you understand the other person's circumstances, which is how we have been explaining the Mishnah for the past half hour, it can also be taken literally. Al tadines chavercha atra tegielim komo. If there is dispute, if there is machlokas, if there is disagreement between two parties, meet him in his place. Reach him personally, a face-to-face encounter. Now, if he literally wants to kill you, maybe it's not a good idea, but the Torah teaches us about Esav and Yaakov that only when they actually met personally were they able to put their differences aside and resolve the situation. Atcha tegelim komo. Make sure you reach his place. Go to him. Sit down. Talk to him. A face-to-face encounter, writes Rabbi Dr. Twersky, may clarify his behavior. Dramatic changes in feelings can occur when there is a direct relationship. So that is not generally how the pshat is interpreted, but that is a different understanding of the Mishnah. When there is something that needs to be worked out, when there is hatred in the heart, Vayistam Esav es Yaakov, Vayomer Esav bilibo, Yikruvu Yimeyev Aviva Hargas Yaakov Achi. I hate him so much in my heart that my father isn't going to kill him, but ultimately Esav did not kill him. What alleviated the feelings of hatred? Face-to-face meeting. Al tadines chaverach atcha tegelim komo. Sometimes two people need to just sit down and say, we have our differences. How can we work this out? It's hard. But Mashiach will only come through shalom. I'm going to end by quoting a story from Rabbi Pesach Krohn. It's such an avoda. It sounds so easy on paper. It sounds so lofty. It is lofty. It's something we have to work on our whole lives. But I think the interpretation that we offered, Al tadines chaverach atcha tegelim komo, ultimately you don't know his relationship with his God. There's one God, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenu, Shema Echad, but we each relate differently to the Ribon Shel Olam based on our life circumstances. Hashem gave me sometimes li ki tzar, and sometimes kol tzar ki, and sometimes kol tzar ki is li ki tzar. And that's unique for every individual. So who am I to judge you? Rav Nassim Zvi Finkel. I know I said I'm going to Rabbi Pesach Krohn, but 1 minute. Once, when Rav Benish Mandel, a Talmud from Rav Nassim Zvi's early days, as Rosh Chabur, Rav Nassim Zvi was the previous Rosh Shiva of Yeshivas Mir, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Avracha, was nifter on Yir Alef Cheshvan, same Yurtzai as Rachel Yiminu. So a Talmud from Rav Nassim Zvi's early days as Rosh Chabur was visiting Eretz Yisrael, and he visited the Rosh Hashiva's home on a Friday afternoon. And he saw Rav Nassim Zvi was sitting with two young men wearing jeans and a t-shirt, with chumashim open in front of them. When they left, Rav Benish Mandel asked the Rosh Hashiva, were you learning Chumash and Rashi with them? Yes, said the Rosh Hashiva. Rav Benish couldn't help ask why. They clearly were not mere Talmidim. Because they asked, said the Rosh Hashiva with a shrug. We judge people based on dress, shul affiliation, head coverings, camps that they attend, schools where they send, restaurants where they eat in. I don't think anything I'm saying is an exaggeration this evening. I think it's something we all have to work on. I'm talking to myself, I'm not talking to you. Because ultimately, I don't know their relationship with God. And when they go to Davin, Vayifka b'makom v'yalan sham, Alam makom asher amad sham es p'nei Hashem. He has his secrets with Hashem, I have my secrets. Al tadines chavercha. Atcha tegelim komo. I'm going to end with a story by Rabbi Pesach Krohn. The Mankin family of Ramat Gan Israel wanted to be involved in Kiruv. This is from Illuminations of the Maggid. Helping Jews become more observant. They phoned a Kiruv organization. They offered to host unaffiliated guests for a Shabbos meal. The organization evaluated their request and decided to send a couple, a doctor and his wife, name has been changed, to the Mankins for dinner on the following Friday night. The meal went well. The food was good. The conversation was pleasant. The Divrei Torah were meaningful. The couple was encouraged to come again. A few weeks later, they were invited again, and then a third time. Each time when the meal was over, the Mankins, who lived on the fourth floor, escorted their guests to the stairway and said goodbye in the hall. After the fourth visit, both couples walked down the street together. They said goodbye outside the building. Before the Mankins started back to their apartment, they were shocked to see the guests flagging down a taxi. They were so disappointed. Obviously, they were not reaching this kappa. How could they openly violate the Shabbos moments after they left their religious home? To the Mankins, it seemed clear that it wasn't working out. After Shabbos, they called the Kiruv organization and they requested different guests. A year later, the organization called the Mankins to tell them about the sudden death of the doctor who had been a guest in their home four times over Shabbos. The representative of the Kiruv organization told them the doctor's wife really enjoyed their visits to their home and suggested that maybe the Mankins could pay a shiva call. The Mankins were saddened at the news. The doctor was a pleasant person. They went to the shiva house. While they were speaking with the widow, they asked if the doctor had been ill. "Not really," said the widow. "It's just that this time we couldn't get to the hospital in time." "What do you mean?" said Mrs. Mankin. The widow answered, "Her husband died, and this was his second heart attack. Remember the last time we ate at your house," she says. "When we all walked down the stairs, my husband, a physician, realized he was having a heart attack. Luckily, he saw a taxi and flagged it down, and we made it to the hospital in time. With the second heart attack, we were too late." The Mankins were shocked. They realized they had jumped to a totally incorrect conclusion. Because of that misjudgment, they had lost contact with the family and lost the opportunity to bring the doctor and wife closer to Yiddishkeit. Rabbi Pesach Kron tells the story over in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, 1920 to 2014, lovingly known as Rabbi Yankala, who would tell this story. Rabbi Galinsky would tell the story and point out the importance of being down the kafsichus, to judge others favorably, even if it's difficult to do so. Perhaps, writes Rabbi Kron, the next time you do something that you know can be misconstrued by others, remember sometimes other people could be in the situation that you are. You wouldn't want someone to come to hasty conclusions about you. Don't do it to others. So Hillel tells us, Hillel, who taught a convert on one foot, don't do to your friend what is hateful to your friend. What is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. Hillel, who had the patience of a saint, and people knocked on his door and a bet for 400 zuz on Erev Shabbos. Hillel, who climbed to the rooftop to listen to Torah when he didn't have enough money to get into the yeshiva and was covered in snow. Hillel says, you want to know something? As much as you revere and value your relationship with God, your friend has his relationship with God. You will never be in his place. Your nisyonos will never be exactly the same because your background, your life history is the same. Don't judge from a distance because then there's an illusion. Sometimes we need to come close and just sit down with the person and work out our differences. Don't presume to be so presumptuous as to think you're right and they're always wrong. And ultimately, remember, there's only one Dayan HaEmes, and it's not me. So Al Tadin, don't presume to be that Dayan HaEmes. Atcha Tagilim Komo. Because your relationship with God is never, ever, ever, ever going to be the same as someone else. So Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, a Gaon Olam, could sit down at the table and learn with two boys in jeans and t-shirts, Chumash with Rashi, because they asked. And for them, that was their level. And he understood that. Halavai, the way we want to be treated, with empathy, with kindness, with an ayin tova, is the way that we should treat and view all those with whom we share this world. Shir should be an aliyah neshama for Bain Dalea, Bas Aaron Alaha Hashem. We thank Toby Kindler very, very much for this dedication. Her yurtzei was Yud Dalad Kislev, for Neshama should have an aliyah and the merit of the Torah learning we share. I've heard Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg say this, so I think if Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg says it, I can say it. If anybody would like to sponsor a future shir, you are welcome to reach out to me through my website, and we appreciate all of our sponsors who keep this shir going and bring chizuk and Torah to Knesset Israel very, very much. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Pesuros Tovos to everyone who joined. Thank you so much. Just stopping this recording.